Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, so I'm going to try to get started quickly because there's, like I said, there's a lot of verses. I have a tendency to do overkill. For those of you, before I get started again, I know I'm going to be asked this at one point, so I might as well get it out of the way right away. I have not heard anything from the court on the airport case. So we had the hearing the day after Lord Nityananda's appearance day, and there were maybe 20, 25 devotees there. It was really a nice crowd of devotees. It was pretty ecstatic for me to have that many devotees in the courtroom. And of course, Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, Gaur Purnima, is just a few days away, so maybe something good will happen between now and Gaur Purnima. But the hearing went pretty well, I think. And when I talk about overkill, some of you may have seen my overkill in action. And judge has to shut me up sometimes because I get carried away a little bit. But who knows? Between now and Gaur Purnima, maybe something good will happen, or not. It's completely up to their lordship, Shri Shri Gaur Nityananda, that this is all happening at this specific period of time, confirms to us that it's out of our hands, it's in their hands, it's in Srila Prabhupada's hands. We know that book distribution was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta ordered Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness and print books in the West. And in Vrindavan, at one of the Gaur Purnima festivals, one year, I can't remember, probably I think it was the year of the installation of Krishna Balaram, Prabhupada was lecturing, and he said, even if you all leave, he said, it will not make any difference. The damage is already done because so many books have been distributed. Others will come to take your place. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, put so many. And I remember, I'll get to these verses in a minute. I'm not going to talk anymore. But because this is the Yuga Dharma, chanting Hare Krishna and the Brihat Madanga, printing the Hare Krishna mantra in the form of spoke or the written word in form of these books that I remember when devotees used to write letters to Prabhupada in the early days. Prabhupada would answer the letters and put a lot of stuff and material in the letters. But later on, as the movement got bigger and bigger, I know in the case of myself, I would write a letter to Prabhupada, and he would say, "Don't bother me. I want to concentrate all my energy and all my time on translating the books, so just work these things out with your GBC." So the books and Lord Chaitanya's appearance are, these go hand in hand. I haven't heard anything on that yet, but you will be the first to know, unless I'm out of town because I'm going to Alachua next week, but you'll hear anyway. One other thing, kind of like a leftover from the last time I gave class, I was talking about the scientific preaching, and this one person, Richard Wald, who had an event in Gainesville, he was a Nobel Prize winner, and we had a confrontation with him during the event. It wasn't a nasty confrontation, But I forgot to mention that later on, this Richard Wall became a member of the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Not because of anything we did at that event, but somehow Swarup Damodar Maharaj had cultivated him, and he was actually on the board of directors of the Bhaktivedanta Institute and went to many of our programs, many of Swarup Damodar Maharaj's programs. And I think he even went to Mayapur. He went to India. I'm sure he went to India. He might have gone to Mayapur, but I forgot to mention that, and I thought that was just an incredibly ironic or fortuitous, providential occurrence that someone that had been so devoted to the theory of evolution should end up working for Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada in his scientific institute. So I'll start with text 20 of Adi Leela chapter 3, and I'll read the verses, not the Bengali or the Sanskrit, right? Just the verses, translation. Okay, because there's a lot of them. And this is this kind of goes into the nature of Lord Chaitanya's external appearance and the nature of the Sankirtan movement. Text number 20. I shall accept, Lord Chaitanya is speaking, I shall accept the role of a devotee, and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. Whenever, and then after Lord Chaitanya mentions this, that he is going to come, he's coming in the role of a devotee. We already know his internal pastimes is he's Radha Krishna something Anga. I can't remember the full verse, but it's Radha and Krishna combined in one. That Krishna came, of course, to taste the devotion and the love that Radharani had for him. And that's why there are so many pastimes when he loses consciousness, falls into the Ganges River, drifts 10, 20 miles down the river before they find his body. He's in samadhi, and they revive him. And because he was always in this mood, this internal mood, as was Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was also in this mood of always meditating on Krishna. We could always tell if you study Srila Prabhupada very carefully, for example, on his videos and CDs and so forth, you'll see that even though so much is going on around Srila Prabhupada, he's here and he's interacting with the devotees, but you can always tell that he's in deep meditation, deep, deep within himself. He's meditating on the pastimes of Radha Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Nitai. So he says, I shall accept the role of a devotee, and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. And unless one practices devotional service himself, he cannot teach it to others. This conclusion is indeed confirmed throughout the Gita and Bhagavatam. And then he cites the Bhagavad Gita, the famous verses, I think, in the fourth chapter, yada, yada, hi, dharmasya, etc. Whenever, externally, why does Krishna come? Why does Krishna come in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? For the same reason that all the incarnations come. Whenever Krishna comes, he has two purposes. One is to interact with his devotees and give his pure devotees the association and manifest those loving pastimes. But on an external capacity, he comes to correct the imbalance in the world that has occurred in the absence of religiosity. So 5,000 years ago, when Krishna came, of course, the earth was overburdened with these huge military resources and armies and fighting and so forth. So whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. If I did not show the proper principles of religion, all these worlds would fall into ruin. I would be the cause of unwanted population and spoil all these living beings. I found that verse somewhat interesting because Arjuna is kind of manifesting the inverse of this mood, that if I fight, if I do my devotional service, then all of these family kshatriyas are going to be killed, and then their wives and their children will have no training, they'll have no protection, the women will, not the women, everybody, will just fall into degraded life. There'll be so much unwanted prajalpa and so much unwanted population. So Arjuna was making that argument to Krishna, and here's Lord Chaitanya saying, well, if I don't come, then this is going to happen. In Arjuna's case, it wasn't going to happen because Arjuna was just an instrument. But in Lord Chaitanya's case, for some reason or another, over time, the pure teachings of Krishna consciousness are lost. Irreligion predominates everywhere. And then Lord Chaitanya, or one of his incarnations, has to come, has to manifest in order to correct that situation. So he goes on to say that whatever actions a great man performs, common people follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. My plenary portions can establish the principles of religion in each age. No one but me, however, can bestow the kind of loving service performed by the residents of Vraja. So there are many incarnations of Krishna. There's several major incarnations, and then there's all the corresponding incarnations from Vishnu to and so forth, Shri Dakshai Vishnu, and so on and so on. But the only one, there's only one that can really manifest the loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna, and that's Krishna himself. No one but Krishna can do this. So Krishna did it 5,000 years ago. Lord Chaitanya is doing it 500 years ago. There may be many all auspicious incarnations of the personality of Godhead, but who other than Lord Sri Krishna, I said that, can bestow love of God upon the surrendered souls? Therefore, in the company of my devotees, I shall appear on earth and perform various colorful pastimes. Of course, Krishna, we know from this verse that Krishna never comes by himself. Krishna never appears alone. Krishna is never isolated or individual. He's, at a minimum, appears with Radharani or Lord Nityananda or his other intimate associates, Panchatattva, etc., etc. Thinking thus, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself, descended at Nadia early in the age of Kali. Thus, the lion-like Lord Chaitanya has appeared in Navadvipa. Now, this little section, which I thought was interesting also, and even though it's not, it's on the point. It's a description of Lord Chaitanya's body, what he actually looked like. He has shoulders of a lion and the powers of a lion and the loud voice of a lion. So Lord Chaitanya was not shy and introverted. He was quite powerful. May that lion be seated in the core of the heart of every living being. Thus, with his resounding roar, may he drive away one's elephantine vices. Of course, Prabhupada gives the example that when there's a fight, I never understood how this could happen. Because if you watch National Geographic or something, Prabhupada said when there's a fight between a lion and an elephant, the lion wins. And these elephants are so big, and I can't figure out how the lion can win that fight. But anyway, that's what Prabhupada says, and I'm sure it's true, even though I've never seen an actual fight between a lion and an elephant. But the elephantine vices are conquered by the lion-like qualities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his early pastimes, he is known as Vishwambar because he floods the world with the nectar of devotion and thus saves the living world, the living beings. The verbal root dubrin, which is the root of the word Vishwambar, indicates nourishing and maintaining. Lord Chaitanya nourishes and maintains the three worlds by distributing love of God. In his later pastimes, he is known as Lord Sri Chaitanya, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He blesses the whole world by teaching about the name and fame of Lord Sri Krishna. That's a long purport. I should read it quickly because it's good. Lord Chaitanya remained a householder only until his 24th year had passed. Then he entered the renounced order and remained manifest in this material world until his 48th year. Therefore, Sesha Lila, or the final portion of his activities, lasted 24 years. Some so-called Vaishnavas say that the renounced order of life is not accepted in the Vaishnava Sampradaya or disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya. This is not a very intelligent position or proposition. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the sannyas order from Shripad Keshava Bharati, who belonged to this Sankara sect, which approves of only 10 names for sannyasis. Long before the advent of Shripad Shankaracharya, however, the sannyas order existed in the Vaishnav line of Vishnu Swami. In the Vishnu Swami Vaishnava Sampradaya, there are 10 different kinds of sannyasa names and 100 different names for sannyasis who accept the Tridanda, the triple staff of sannyas, which is what I think our sannyasis carry. I've never carried one, so I wouldn't know personally. I never bothered to unwrap it and see what's underneath. Scares me. This is approved by the Vedic rules. Therefore, Vaishnava sannyas was existent even before the appearance of Shankaracharya, although those who know nothing about Vaishnava sannyas unnecessarily declare that there is no sannyas in the Vaishnava Sampradaya. So that's a long purport, but I thought that part of it about the different controversy over sannyas and taking sannyas, etc., was somewhat interesting. Knowing him, Lord Chaitanya, to be the incarnation for Kali Yuga, Garga Muni, during the naming ceremony of Krishna, predicted his appearance. So we remember that when they had the Abhishek and the bathing ceremony for Krishna, and Garga Muni, the astrologer, was there. He predicted the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, the golden avatar, in the Kali Yuga. This boy, Krishna, has three colors, white, red, and yellow, as he appears in different ages. Now he has appeared in a transcendental blackish color. And, of course, this is Krishna. White, red, and yellow, these are the three bodily lusters that the Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, assumes in the ages of Satya, Treta, and Kali, respectively. The religious practice for the age of Kali, and of course this is one of those important verses, is to broadcast the glories of the holy name. Only for this purpose has the Lord, in a yellow color, descended as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the sunum bonum, so to speak, of Lord Chaitanya's external appearance in the Kali Yuga, which is to establish the Sankirtan movement, chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all over the world. In a darshan in Vrindavan one time, I can't remember, Prabhupada was chanting in his quarters. It was Bilmangal Thakur or Narottam Das Thakur, and was chanting that bhajan, and then it was about the glories of chanting the holy name. And Prabhupada said, this chanting and dancing in the association of devotees is very powerful. So that even if the association of devotees becomes intolerant, you should still tolerate. So Prabhupada was advocating and emphasizing that to chant and dance in the association of other devotees is the Yuga Dharma, the most powerful form of yoga or purification. And that's actually stated in this purport. In this age of Kali, the practical system of religion for everyone is the chanting of the name of Godhead. This was introduced in this age by Lord Chaitanya. Bhakti yoga actually begins with the chanting of the holy name, as confirmed by Madhvacharya in his commentary on the Mukunda Upanishads. In this Dwarpa Yuga, people should worship Lord Vishnu only by the regular principles of the Narada Pancharatna and other authorized books. In the age of Kali, however, people should simply chant the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Hare Krishna mantra is specifically mentioned in many Upanishads as the Kali Sankirtan Upanishad. The Kali Santarana Upanishad, where it is said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. After searching through, and then Prabhupada quotes another shloka, after searching through all the Vedic literature, one cannot find a method of religion more sublime for this age than the chanting of Hare Krishna. So this is a description of his body. The luster of his expansive body resembles molten gold. The deep sound of his voice conquers the thundering of newly assembled clouds. One who measures 4 cubits in height and in breadth by his own hand is celebrated as a great personality. Didn't we have this come up at a class relatively recently about this measurement called a cubit? Does anybody remember anything about that? So there's one who measures 4 cubits in height and breadth by his own hand is celebrated as a great personality. So if you're 4 cubits, you're a great personality. Such a person is called Nayagrodha Parimandala. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who personifies all good qualities, has the body of a Nayagrodha Parimandala. His arms are long enough to reach his knees. His eyes are just like lotus flowers. His nose is like a sesame flower, and his face is as beautiful as the moon. He is peaceful, self-controlled, and fully devoted to the transcendental service of Lord Sri Krishna. He is affectionate toward his devotees. He is gentle, and he is equally disposed toward all living beings. He is decorated with sandalwood bangles and armlets and anointed with the pulp of sandalwood. He especially wears these decorations to dance in Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So all you Harinam people should put on a lot of sandalwood, wear a lot of sandalwood, whatever you can find, because this is apparently auspicious for Harinam chanting the holy name. So if you can find some sandalwood dhotis and kurtas and saris and things of that sort, that would be good. Recording all these qualities of Lord Chaitanya, the sage Vishampayan included his name in the Vishnu Sahasranam. Then it goes into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya have 2 divisions, the early pastimes, Adi Lila, and the later pastimes, Sesha Lila. He has 4 names in each of these 2 leelas. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful and his body smeared with the pulp of sandalwood. See, there's that sandalwood again. Seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order and is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. Nirvaseshya sunyavadi, paskacha deshatarani. This is I remember the first time we went to Vrindavan for the Gaur Purnima festival in the good old days. Every year, we would celebrate, or many devotees, hundreds of devotees would travel to Mayapur, and still do more than ever before. But when Prabhupada was here and he inaugurated that program, he wanted the devotees to come to Mayapur for Gaur Purnima. It was just in the place of Lord Chaitanya's birth and his early pastimes, which has a special potency. And Prabhupada, the first night of the first festival, worldwide festival, he was preaching at a place called Fogal Ashram on the roof. And Fogal Ashram apparently has, when we were there in those days, it was not really much to talk about at all. It was a little austere, to say the least, which I won't go into the gory details. But it was a tough place. It was down the street from the temple, maybe a mile down the road from the temple. And that's where most of the devotees were staying. And Prabhupada was preaching every night on the roof, which was quite sublime, because you'd hear the peacocks, and then you'd hear all the different temples in Vrindavan. You'd hear them chanting in the background. You listen to the New York tapes of Prabhupada lecturing, and you hear sirens, you hear kids screaming, you hear crazy people walking down the street talking to themselves. But in Vrindavan, this transcendental atmosphere. And the first lecture that Prabhupada gave, he was very, very, very heavy. He was warning all of the devotees to stay away from Gaudiya Math, from the caste Goswamis and other impersonalist and groups and movements that the devotees should avoid. And he was very strong and very forceful, and he didn't hold anything back. And I wondered. I said, "Wow, we're in Vrindavan, and here's all this transcendental atmosphere," which I didn't really appreciate much at that time. But and Prabhupada is lecturing very heavily about the groups that have deviated, as Naikatma warned me about this morning, and warning the devotees, do not associate with them. Do not associate with them. Because even within our own Gaudiya Sampradaya, even within Krishna consciousness, there are different, with each line, with each Sampradaya, there are differences. Most of them are very subtle, but those subtle differences are extremely important, because Prabhupada has referred to ISKCON, or Krishna consciousness, as sublime. It is a sublime movement. It is not this gross, everything is out in the open and external and et cetera, et cetera. It's very sublime. It's very subtle. And there are these subtle distinctions even between Prabhupada and his own God brothers, and what to speak of other sampradayas. And that's for those people that follow that sampradaya. We are in this sampradaya, and Prabhupada is our guru sampradaya. He is coming directly from Lord Chaitanya. That's my opinion. It's not my speculation. That is just my belief that somehow, in some way, Srila Prabhupada is directly connected intimately to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because I have no other way of figuring out, when I look back 40 years from when I first came to ISKCON and where we were then, and I look at where we are now and what Srila Prabhupada accomplished in such a relative, not even relatively, I mean, just in such a extremely short amount of time, what he was able to accomplish is unprecedented. It just, no ordinary pure devotee could do anything on that level of what Srila Prabhupada was able to do. So I don't know who Prabhupada is. I don't know where he's from. I don't know his relationship with Krishna. I would not speculate on anything, but I can say that even his golden complexion and his mannerisms and the way the example that he set, there is no other conclusion that philosophy nitty-nitty, not this, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. So if you examine every alternative of Prabhupada's status, not who Prabhupada is, but what level, what state of consciousness he is in, the only conclusion is that it is something so closely, so intimate to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that there is no other conclusion than one could logically reach. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is repeatedly and clearly said that the essence of religion in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. O King, in this way, the people in Dwarpa Yuga worship the Lord of the universe. In Kali Yuga, they also worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the regulations of the revealed scriptures. Kindly now hear of that from me. All right, this is extremely important. And in the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his devotees, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So this is the essence. This verse, it's text number 52 in the third chapter of Adi Lila. This is really the essence, the heart, the soul of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of the Sankirtan movement, the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. So if you'd like to read that as we get closer and closer to Gaur Purnima, that's where you'll find it. Now, Big O said to look in chapter 3 of Adi Lila, but I kind of, I don't know how I, when I did this, but I did find some shlokas in chapter 7 with apologies to the Big O. But they seem to be relevant to Lord Chaitanya's external appearance and give us a little bit more insight into his pastimes and our mission. That's actually what I'm trying to get to, is what is our mission that was given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the chain of pure devotees, acharyas, in the disciplic succession, culminating, at least for the time being, with Srila Prabhupada. In distributing, and this is actually very practical and a very, very sweet description of Lord Chaitanya's mood. In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of God. So for Lord Chaitanya and other members of Panchatattva, everything was the spiritual world. Wherever they were was the spiritual world. And I remember in the old days, hate to keep saying that, but because that makes me old, doesn't it? which is, we all know, is not true. I remember the Sankirtan party, the traveling Sankirtan parties, or wherever they were. If they stopped for gas, everybody would get out and go up to the cars that were getting gas and preach and distribute books to people at the gas station. Or if they went grocery shopping or boga shopping, they would preach to the people in the store. They would go around the store and preach and try to distribute books. Wherever they went, the Sankirtan devotees were distributing books. In the same way that Lord Chaitanya and Panchatau and his associates did not recognize any barriers. Oh, we can do it here, but we can't do it there, et cetera, et cetera. This place is good, that place is bad. Wherever they went, whoever they met was a ideal candidate, was a bona fide candidate for Krishna consciousness. So, and even though they try to stop us, and Prabhupada warns us that in the Kali Yuga, this is going to happen. They are going to try. They will try to. The demons will try to stop the Sankirtan movement. The holy name, the distribution of our books. This just irritates them. This just causes them no limit, no restrictions on the distress and that the non-devotees or the inimical non-devotees feel towards. When they see devotees distributing books and chanting the holy name and spreading the Sankirtan movement, this causes them great anxiety, just like Jagaya Marae in the beginning. But eventually, over time, they are purified just by that association. So we shouldn't be restricted at all. If we don't have an airport, I've listened to some of the scores, and some of the scores seem to... Devotees seem to be, wherever they're going, these Sankirtan devotees, because of their sincerity, seem to be distributing a lot of books and getting nice donations. So even the airport, even though it is such a good facility and places that we used to have, shopping centers, fairs, and so forth, that we don't have any longer, the devotees have found other places. These are material impediments, and there is no material impediment. Prabhupada said we are not bound by the laws of material society in our spiritual activities, but obviously we have to follow them and do the best we can. We can fight, we can try to change it, but ultimately we just have to find new ways and different places and other ways to distribute Prabhupada's books and spread the holy name. Although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity, for this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. And that goes back to what I mentioned about Srila Prabhupada's comment about books, that so many books have been distributed that even if we were to all leave, others would come to see. The mission will go on. The mission is going to happen, whether we do it or not. We are given the privilege of participating in the Sankirtan movement. If we are stupid enough to turn our backs on that opportunity, on that great privilege that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and go away and do something else, then somebody else is going to come and do it. If Arjuna didn't fight, then somebody else would have fought the battle. And Krishna said, they're already dead, so it doesn't make any difference. If you throw down your bow and you refuse to fight for all of the reasons that you've given to me, it's not going to change anything. So somehow or other, we cannot understand it. It is very hard to understand. How is Krishna consciousness going to spread to every town and village by the end of the Kali Yuga? As Srila Bhaktivinoda and Lord Chaitanya predicted, that every town and village, the chanting of Hare Krishna will be heard in every town and village. It's not maybe going to happen in our lifetime. Maybe not. Prabhupada was sitting at the Radha Damodar temple in a room that just very austere room. I'm sure most of you have seen it. For many years, working on the first few volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he had no money. He had no resources. He had no servants. He had nothing, nothing at all. He was alone, completely alone. And yet, somehow or other, here we are today. And even though it may seem, maybe there's a few thousand devotees outside of India and a few million really sincere devotees inside of India. But this was all done by one elderly gentleman at 70 years old, when he was 70 years old, who suffered several heart attacks on the way over to America from India, and yet he was still able to produce hundreds of volumes of transcendental literature. He was able to build hundreds of temples. I remember many times when reporters would ask Srila Prabhupada, well, and this was very in the early 70s, how many devotees and how many temples do you have? And Prabhupada would say, I have 100 temples, and in each temple there are 100 devotees. And this was, he had 20, 30 temples, maybe 500 or 600 devotees. Prabhupada always say, we have 100 temples, and in each temple there were 100 devotees. I heard this, Prabhupada say this many times. Because Prabhupada had the vision, Prabhupada could see, he had that faith in the instructions of his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Lord Chaitanya. And then he says here, all the parts of this tree are spiritually cognizant, and as they grow up, they will spread all over the world, referring to the Sankirtan movement. As the movement, as the seeds are watered, as they sprout and come out of the ground and grow, then they will spread all over the world. This tree will envelop the entire planet. I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? It would certainly be a very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone, and still I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. Lord Chaitanya is wondering, I'm just like Prabhupada. Many times. There's many similarities as you go through Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and that's not to equate the two, say they're the same, one and the same, but the mood is so similar, where Prabhupada would say, I am only one man, what can I do? I am an old man. I will not be here. I was just reading something I won't mention. His last will and testament or directions. It's one of the documents that legal documents that Prabhupada executed. He said, I am an old man. I will not be on the scene very much longer. That's what he says. I will not be on the scene very much longer. So he left. This is what he left us. He left us his legacy in the form of these books, and he was wondering, well, how can I do this by myself? I cannot do this by myself. So he said all of us were sent by his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada, to help him, to assist him in the Sankirtan movement to whatever extent. And Prabhupada, I don't want to get political, and I won't, But we've seen, as a practical matter, sometimes there's some very people that we think are very advanced, they're big leaders, and yet they fall down, and they do maybe some terrible things. But Prabhupada, when they were when they were in their prime, when they were in good standing, so to speak, Prabhupada extracted everything that they had. He extracted all of the devotional service that that individual soul had to give, and he used it all for Krishna. Prabhupada didn't care. This person is this, that person is that. Prabhupada knew that person is going to fall down, or this person is, you know, whatever he could get to fulfill the instructions of his spiritual master, he took it and he used it in a positive way to build and build and build and preach no matter what. He didn't discriminate, just like we read that verse a few minutes ago. He made no distinction. Oh, he's advanced or she's advanced. I'll preach to him or her. But that person, I don't like his glasses or his, you know, the shirt that he's wearing or something like this, or I don't like the job that they do, whatever. They made no distinction, and Prabhupada made no distinction. He used everybody that walked in the door, engaged them immediately in devotional service, and got all of the devotional service out of them that he possibly could for Krishna. So whatever they may have done, there's the shloka in the Isha Upanishad at the very end. I can't remember the Sanskrit, but the prayer is to Krishna, please remember all the things that I have done for you. In my case, I add a little thing. Please just remember the good things. Don't remember the other things, but just remember the good things. And Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada, they remember. They never forget. Any service that someone has rendered. So Lord Chaitanya is wondering, as did Srila Prabhupada himself, or Srila Prabhupada was wondering, as did Lord Chaitanya, how I am only one man, how will I accomplish, how will I fulfill this prophecy of the Sankirtan movement spreading to every town and village? So he says, this is his instructions, this is the answer to that question. Therefore, I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. That's a pretty far out verse, that he's ordering every man within this universe and woman within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. Accept, first you accept it, and then you distribute it. First you chant, and then you, first you hear, of course, in our case, and then you chant. So if I am only, I am the only gardener, what shall I do with, if I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree, and thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. So, finally, and this is the last shloka. Oh, geez. See, if I would have said any much more, we would have really run over some. But this is also another, this is for us. I mean, that's why these verses, these last few verses, this is really meant for us. Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. So if the fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere. And thus all people will glorify my name with great pleasure. Then he gives a special little caveat for those of you in Indian bodies. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatavarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. By his work, thoughts, and words, an intelligent man must perform actions which will be beneficial for all living entities in this life and the next. So it's quite clear. I mean, there's no debate, there's no controversy, there is no dispute over why Lord Chaitanya came. Obviously, he had these internal pastimes in the mood of Radharani, but he also is giving these very, very, very powerful, very, very strong instructions to his associates and to those taking the position that he is limited and therefore you all must take up this cause. You must take up the mission and keep it going. So even though it's very hard to understand sometimes how this is going to happen, how by the end of the Kali Yuga, probably not in our lifetime, my lifetime at least, there, I have no doubts whatsoever that as we observe, what number year is this of Gaur Purnima? What year are we in? Does anybody know? What's that? Okay, so we're a little over 500. What was supposed to happen in 500 years? By when? 526. So we have 5,000 more years? 4,500 more years? Give or take? Well, I'll see you around. I'll be seeing you. I guess I'll be seeing some. I'll be around. Doesn't matter. So anyway, this is what I could find, and I just hope that we can somehow remain in this consciousness and this mood of that Srila Prabhupada has handed down to us, and in that note, I'm going to stop.
Just a quick note, Amarendra Prabhu. One cubit is the length from the elbow to the wrist.
What's that?
Cubit is the length from the elbow to the wrist.
What are you saying? Oh, one cubit. Cubit is from the elbow to the... No. Yeah.